Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another exciting episode of Views on View. I am your host, Steve Edwards, a host with the face for radio and the voice for being a mime, but I am still your host, whether you like it or not. Today with me, our very special guest is David Chuka. David is coming to us all the way from Nigeria. How you doing, David?
Hi. Thank you, Steve. I'm doing very fine. Thank you very much. And I'm really excited to be here.
Good.
Hey, folks, this is Charles Max Wood from Top End Devs. And lately, I've been working on actually building out Top End Devs. If you're interested, you can go to topenddevs.com/podcast, and you can actually hear a little bit more about my story, about why I'm doing what I'm doing with Top End Devs, why I changed it from devchat.tv to Top End Devs. But what I really want to get into is that I have decided that I'm going to build the platform that I always wished I had with devchat.tv. And I renamed it to Top End Devs because I want to give you the resources that are going to help you to build the career that you want, right? So whether you want to be an influencer in tech, whether you want to go and just max out your salary and then go live a lifestyle with your family, your friends, or just traveling the world or whatever, I want to give you the resources that are going to help you do that. We're going to have career and leadership resources in there, and we're going to be giving you content on a regular basis to help you level up and max out your career. So go check it out at topenddevs.com. If you sign up before my birthday, that's December 14th. If you sign up before my birthday, you can get 50% off the lifetime of your subscription. Once again, that's topenddevs.com.
So before we get started into our topic of Nux 3, why don't you just give us a little background on yourself, history, how you got into programming, why you're famous, all that kind of stuff.
I don't know about being famous, but okay.
Not yet. After this podcast, you'll be famous. Let's put it that way.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, my name is David. Everyone knows that already. And I am a software developer. How did I get into programming? Well, it's been a while now, but basically I sort of started with 3D and motion graphics and motion design. And one day I found a course on Codecademy, learned Python, and I started taking the Python course, and it seemed really interesting actually. And you know, before you knew what was happening, I took more courses, and I actually was doing this because I've actually been really interested in computers and wanting to build stuff. So that kind of really piqued my interest. And then I went to university for a degree in computer science as well. So yeah, it was just a lot of, I think, just bumping into stuff and being opportune to pick up stuff along the way. And yeah, I actually have a background in backend development, like writing code with Python, before I eventually picked up JavaScript and started building front-end applications. So yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's similar to me. I started out with PHP on the back end and then moved to the front end. I actually still do a lot of back end in Laravel myself, but good deal. So what was it? So when you first got into JavaScript, was Vue your first choice? Did you mess around with other frameworks or vanilla JavaScript, or did you just jump right into Vue?
Oh, for sure. Vue was my first choice, actually. Yeah, it was. Okay. I actually was working on this project as a backend developer, and I think halfway through the project, our front-end developer sort of got engaged with a whole lot of other things and had to kind of let the project go. And then I just got a text that, hey, what's up? Do you think you could pick up the slack on the front-end? And I'm like, oh, wow. I've never done front-end before. But I think it was a pretty interesting opportunity to try and learn new stuff and just kind of expand my skill set a little. So I started watching videos on Vue and eventually Nuxt. And yeah, that was exactly how I started. Yeah.
So in your day-to-day job, do you use strictly Vue.js or mostly Nuxt or a combination, or what's your experience there?
Oh man, this is a Vue podcast, so I probably shouldn't say this. But most recently, yeah, I actually use Vue and Nuxt for my side projects, actually. But yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
But more recently, I've been using a lot of React in my day-to-day job.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I'm very sorry, guys. I know I betrayed you and your trust, but
no, I apologize. No, no. job is what you have to do. What you would do on the side is what you really want to do. We understand that there are numbers of Vue developers that have to suffer with other frameworks. And that's quite all right. Just makes us more well-rounded developers and makes us appreciate why we like Vue that much more, right?
Like, I think for the first week...
There you go.
For the first week where I had to start writing React, I complained so much. I'm like, oh my goodness. This would be so much faster in Vue. This would be so much easier in Vue. But man, nobody was hearing that. So I just kept on going.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting. Side note, we've talked to Debbie O'Brien.
Oh, really?
Who was formerly part of Nuxt. We've interviewed her twice, and she's a hoot. I love talking to her. But she left Nuxt to go write React. She's writing React now for her job.
Really?
She told us a while. Yeah, she did. We didn't kick her off the podcast for that, because we appreciated her Nuxt knowledge. She's doing Nuxt full time now. So, or excuse me, React for her day job.
That's really cool.
Now, but yeah, that's fine. So anyway, the reason we had you on here is to go through a blog post you wrote for Vue Mastery about Nuxt 3 being here in the beta. So we'll put a link for that in the show notes. So let's talk about Nuxt 3 and the different areas that you're addressing in your blog post. So first of all, we have the TypeScript rewrite.
Yeah, definitely. The TypeScript rewrite is something really interesting, because almost every framework now is rewriting from the ground up using TypeScript. And so, if you do not know TypeScript right now, I think this is probably one of the best times to try and pick up TypeScript. So yeah, it's really cool. You just, and that doesn't mean you cannot use JavaScript like you used to do before. It's just a matter of specifying or what language to use, just like Vue 3 and the TypeScript support. But now the TypeScript support comes right out of the box. You don't really have to set anything up. You just have to, configure your files to support TypeScript. So I think that's pretty interesting, because TypeScript brings that extra layer of, should I say, support in terms of preventing runtime errors and just making your application overall look more well-rounded and more professional, I guess. Yeah.
Sure. Now, as you pointed out, so Nuxt itself is written in TypeScript. So there's two parts of this. Nuxt itself is written by TypeScript. So even if you don't write TypeScript in your code, in your modules and so on, you're still going to get the type hinting and all the integrations your IDE has with reading TypeScript and giving hints and that kind of stuff. So you don't have to write TypeScript, but then also it's a lot easier to write TypeScript in your code that you're writing on top of that. I tried doing a little bit of TypeScript with the Vue 2 library a while ago, and it was difficult at best trying to do that and get everything to work. So I myself have not really delved into the TypeScript world as much as I probably should. Give me a flogging with a wet noodle for that. But that's been my understanding, is that you still get the benefits of the core being written in TypeScript, even if you're not writing it yourself. All right. So moving on. Oh, this one particularly interests me too, is Vite. That's V-I-T-E, pronounced Vite.
Yeah.
Heard it said from Evan himself, so no more ambiguity about, is it Vite, Vite, Vite? It's Vite, V-E-E-T for English speakers. So
I've tried correcting people on the pronunciation so many times. I mean, like, it's Vite, but it's spelled Vite. I know it's spelled Vite, but it's Vite, so.
But it's French. Yeah. It's that whole French thing we got going on. Exactly. So talk about Vite. How is it, does it come out of the box? Do you have to install it separately? What's the benefits? So on.
Yeah, I think Vite comes right out of the box, actually. And for people that have used Vite before, I think they'll be really, really impressed. I know it's packaged with, I can't remember the name of this bundler. Man, I can't exactly remember. I know it works with it's built with two things joined together that makes it that much faster. But yeah, it's...
Oh, you're talking about, is it Snowpack Parcel?
No, it's not...
I forget what the bundler is.
No, it's not. I can't remember. I can't remember what it is, but maybe if we can look it up eventually, can put it in the show notes. But it's really interesting, because it's just, I think the speed is the number one selling point of Vite, actually. It's a build tool that helps you build your project faster. And it's just, the speed is just, it's just out of this world, because, man, I don't know how to explain it, actually. It's just not like anything we've seen before. And yeah, it does come out of the box for Nuxt. So, developing Nuxt projects now would be such a breeze, actually. So yeah, I'm actually really excited for this one as well, because I mean, it's just going to make your development experience so much better. And I actually remember when Evan Yu was tweeting about Vite. Like, I think I have a feeling this was a side project, something he built in his spare time. And that's how you know.
It was.
It's so impressive, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, if I remember, it was just like a weekend. He started, hey, this was cool. I'm going to try doing this. And then, so Vite 1, the version 1, was specifically targeted. It was integrated with Vue. You had to be using Vue to use Vite. And then once you got into version 2, he made it useful, sort of extracted so that it could be used with any JavaScript project, vanilla, React, Angular, Vue, Ember, you know, whatever, and Svelte and stuff. So I think, if I understand correctly, I think Svelte bundles Vite now.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I've heard other people, like the guys on Scott Tilinski on Syntax FM, talks about how he uses it with his platform and with React. So it's a standalone thing that you can easily incorporate. And from what I've seen, it's very easy to incorporate it in. But yeah, it's speed is the big thing. Just because it's using the native browser functionality of ESM modules as compared to having to do it all separately and using external tools like Webpack does. Rollup, here we go. Rollup's what it uses for its bundler.
Oh, okay.
That's right. I couldn't remember what it was.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I mean, Vite is pretty interesting. And I think Evan has a course on Vue Mastery where he teaches, he does, how to set up Vite and how to use it in your projects. I mean, it's not a lot of UI stuff for front-end developers are looking UI stuff. It's basically more infrastructure-based. And it's just telling you, you know, how to bundle stuff and provide either how it provides a faster and leaner development experience for your web project. So yeah, it's pretty interesting to have that come with Nuxt 3. Yeah.
So when you install, I haven't had a chance to play with Nuxt 3 yet, but when you install it, does it give you an option whether you want to use Vite or Webpack?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What do we got next? Server engine. I believe this is Nitro.
Oh, yeah.
So how does that...
So the new Nuxt 3 server engine, which is Nuxt Nitro, basically, it actually does a lot of things at the same time. So it helps. First of all, Nitro, meaning it's faster, right? It makes for more performance rendering called edge-side rendering for now, which helps with... how do I explain it? There's actually a perfect video for this on YouTube by Daniel Rowe. But basically, it helps with rendering with lower latency network calls, and it's deployable everywhere. And also, it provides this very exciting feature, which I think Nuxt has had for a while now, which kind of turns your application to look like a full stack app. I don't know if you've ever played around with Nuxt before, but there's this folder in Nuxt called API. So you can kind of write your API endpoints in that folder. You can create files there and write API endpoints in which your front-end application can actually communicate with. And that's actually pretty interesting. So yeah.
So when it's calling, so it can call both Nuxt backend server points as well as external, like if you're using a headless CMS.
Yeah.
Or other API resources.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's pretty interesting because it's also this new server engine actually allows you to deploy on a lot more platforms, you know, like Netlify Russell, Cloudflare, Dino Deployer, Heroku, Azure. So yeah, I think Nitro is something the Nuxt team has been trying to really hype during the release of Nuxt 3, because I think they really put a lot of work into it. There's a video of Sebastian giving a talk, I think it was Nuxt Nation, and he was just talking about a lot of the experience that he faced while building Nuxt Nitro. And you could tell that the team was really proud to finally get it up and running. And it's something that they will be really proud that, you know, they actually integrated into Nuxt 3.
So another thing I'm just reading about the benefits of Nitro is the middleware. I know we've had it before, but it seems like it's a little more tightly integrated.
Oh, okay.
Into the Nitro engine.
Oh, okay. Oh, so what middleware is that?
So if you write anything in your roots, the server/middleware directory, it will run on every request.
Oh, okay.
And then you can, you know, intercept requests either going to or from a server, add a header to your responses, log responses, modify your requests. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just something that sits in the middle between your front and your back and allows you to tweak things. I mean, it's pretty standard, but it looks, from what I remember dealing with it in Next 2, this seems a little more tightly integrated in the core to how you do stuff.
Yeah, so. I've actually worked with middlewares before in Next 2. So yeah, probably you just made a much bigger improvement to it in Next 3. Yeah, that should be pretty interesting.
Okay, so that's the sort of the core of Next itself. On the developer side, we have an improved developer experience. So there's three major upgrades we talk about here. So let's talk about the Next CLI on steroids.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, the Next CLI currently is called Noxy now. And basically, it just it helps you scaffold new projects with almost zero effort. It's been developed in a way such that you can run commands faster and more efficiently when building right now. So yeah.
So give me an example of what you would use the CLI for other than maybe just your first initial install.
I think when you need to maybe upgrade modules or change current modules in your projects. Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest improvements on the CLI now is just helping you do things faster and more efficiently, actually. So maybe not a lot of internal things have been changed per se, but like just a way to just make developments better overall. Yeah.
So it's more of just a speed and performance enhancement as compared to functionality.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one, Next Suspense. And this was, I know that something Suspense was new in Vue 3 itself. Yeah. You want to talk about what it is and how it's integrated into Next?
Oh, yeah. So Next Suspense is basically, Suspense itself is a special component that renders a fallback content instead of a component. Let's say like you're loading stuff until a condition is met. It waits for that condition to either be met or not. So while it's waiting for that condition, when you want to render a particular page or a component, so your suspense is what you actually see at the moment. And it can also perform async operations in your components. But I'm aware that it's not to be used in production at the moment. But I know React has had something like this for a while now, but I think it's still currently in its experimental stage in Vue. So I think it's something that would be pretty interesting to see. Yeah, because now you probably could have written your own code for, when this is happening, maybe do this. But now you have a built-in component that can help you do this without, any extra installation or writing any extra feature and stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In my day-to-day, I deal with a pretty large Vue application. And that's one of the things we do quite a bit is handling that intermediary stage when content's loading in your page, but you still want to show something to your viewers, whether it's like a skeleton to reserve the space on the page or just show them that it's loading so they're not thinking that it's broken and they sit here and hit refresh and that kind of stuff. Normally just in Vue prior to this, you'd usually have to have some sort of variable that you're watching and it says is loaded or is loading or something like that. And then based on that, you do different things. Okay. Where with Suspense, you basically just have a suspense, just like any other imported component, right? You just have your suspense with a couple slots, a default and fallback. Yeah. Put your code in there and you're ready to rock. That saves a lot of headaches.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting actually, because what makes a framework is just basically taking all the things you see that, this is like so common amongst many modern web apps. Like these people repeat this all the time. So why not just let's take this particular part of the development experience and just like say, what's the word? Just take it and couple it into something that people can just import and use it on the go. So yeah, that's a really cool feature that they've brought in from Vue 3 into Next 3 as well.
Right. Okay.
Hi, this is Charles Max Wood from Top End Devs. And lately I've been coaching some people on starting some podcasts and in some cases, just taking their career to the next level. Whether you're beginner going to intermediate going to advanced, whether you're trying to get noticed in the community or go freelance, I've been helping these folks figure out how to get in front of people, how to build relationships and how to build their careers and max out and just go to the next level. So if you're interested in talking to me and having me help you go to the next level, go to topendevs.com/coaching. I will give you a 1-hour free session where we can figure out what you're trying to do, where you're trying to go, and figure out what the next steps are. And then from there, we can figure out how to get you to the place you want to go. So once again, that's topendevs.com/coaching.
Moving on, Next Kit. So it's essentially a Next SDK software development kit that exposes key Next functionalities to users and module authors in ways that will continue to work no matter how Next Core changes in the future. So in other words, protecting your backwards compatibility. So give me an example of some kind of modules that you would see. I think the most common, as I answer my own question, sorry about that.
That's fine.
I know like on Awesome Next, the GitHub repo, there's a huge list of external modules that you can write. Probably one of the more popular one would be like Axios, View Meta, that kind of stuff that allows you to integrate and it does, you know, in theory, does a lot of legwork for you. So that the way that's structured, that still hasn't changed, right? It's just basically they're giving you a little better tools to write modules.
I think one of the things that went into building Nox Kit is, I mean, they were like accounting for developers that build Nox tools and Nox modules. So in a way, they're kind of like accounting for, oh, okay, Nox is currently growing and we'll probably have future versions in the a lot of future versions later on. So I think they were just trying to find a way that, oh, okay, how do we make these modules like not break immediately an update is made? Like, probably they will eventually migrate with some extra new features and stuff, but how can we keep that Nox core compatible? How can we keep it constant across different versions of Nox? And yeah, I think they were really thinking about module authors and how building tools, how to make the development experience of building tools better generally.
Right. Okay. So yeah, I don't see links in here. Is there like a repo or something we have this, or how is this documented? I'm just hunting around real quick and not seeing much in terms of the documentation.
Oh yeah. Well, I think it's still in its development stage because there are some features here actually that on the Nox 2 website, you'd see that they're coming soon. That means they're not exactly out yet.
Right.
Probably there's still some work to be done on it. So
yeah, okay. So I found that there's a GitHub repo. We can put that in the show notes too. Thunder the Nox user /framework on GitHub.
Okay, that's cool.
Right. All right, moving on. Dev tools. I like this one just because I use them a lot. Let's talk about Nox dev tools.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the features I was talking about where they say coming soon. So I've actually not had the chance to play with Nox dev tools, unfortunately. But in my honest opinion, I think that's one feature that I'm most excited about because I have no idea why, because the Vue dev tools work perfectly fine when you're developing Nox applications. But for the Nox team to think, oh, okay, you know what? We're going to build our own dev tools. And we're just going to, once we figure out that your application is built on Nox, like we're going to give you all the features and all the tools you need to just make your development experience more improved. And now you can monitor, debug your application quicker and better. And yeah, I think I think it's really interesting. I can't wait to see how it works. But currently, I've not been able to play around with it. I don't know if maybe someone out there has seeing the interface or something, but now currently I've not been able to play around with it, but I know that it's coming soon in Nox 3, and yeah, I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to see how that works while developing Nox applications.
Yeah, I use the dev tools quite a bit in when I'm just working with regular Vue. And Next, it's a little tougher sometimes to get the browser dev tools to work because I rely quite extensively on my debugger.
Oh, really?
In the browser. Oh, yes. Love my
debugger. What friction have you been experiencing with the Vue? Because I use the Vue dev tools quite fine when I'm working with Nox as well. I don't know.
Right. Well, I use both of them. You know, the dev tools is what gives you everything's loaded. Okay, here's all your data. Here's your loaded components in a hierarchical format, how they're loaded. Shows you what's coming from Vuex. If you've got Vuex, here's your calculated values, your props that are passed in, your store stuff gives you some performance and stuff like that. But when it comes to actually running through your code, what's going on here at this point in my code? I want to stop and look at my variable values and stuff. That's where the debugger comes into play. And I have issues with Nux being able to, you know, having them loaded and be able to do that. True. So this won't solve that, but it will still give you a lot of the dev tools functionality that is really important. Just seeing, okay, here's what I have available when this is loaded, what up, you know, then I can use it. So Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to having that DevTools capability.
I think I'm used to using the debugger tool when trying to like look into what's actually happening in my code. So yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from. But for things like, you know, state and okay, this is where your components are and props and all of that, I think the Vue DevTools work fine. But I can't wait to see how much the Nox DevTools improve developer experience overall.
Right. Okay, and lastly, in the developer experience, Nuxt Bridge. So, you know, this is Nuxt 3. It's out of the box. You're working with Vue 3, and Vue 3 obviously has some differences from Vue 2. You got Beat and so on. So now, fortunately, with Vue, in terms of writing your module code, it's backwards compatible. Just because you're using Composition API, I mean, because it's there, you can still use the Options API. And I've done that in some Nuxt 3, but to help do the migration, we're using Nuxt Bridge. So why don't you want to talk, or just using it, I guess. You want to talk about Nuxt Bridge?
Actually, there's an interesting talk by Kenny, also known as Kenny, is a developer experience engineer at Netlify. He talked about this in VueConf Toronto, the one that just got concluded. But Nuxt Bridge is very interesting. I think if you could get the link to that talk, you should link it in the show notes, actually. It was a very interesting talk. But what Nuxt Bridge basically does is it just helps everyone be happier by helping you migrate some features from Nuxt 2 to Nuxt 3. So you say you have, you know, an existing Nuxt 2 project and you're thinking of using some Nuxt 3 features. So yeah, Nuxt Bridge would most likely help you do that. The only caveat is that you cannot obviously take every single feature from Nuxt 3 into Nuxt 2. So there's some features that would work. There's some features that probably wouldn't work. But yeah, I think Nuxt Bridge actually does its best. And thumbs up to the Nuxt team for that, actually. That was actually, it was a pretty good one. It was pretty interesting to see. So yeah, just basically, like the name implies, a bridge between your Nuxt 2 and Nuxt 3 projects. I know a lot of people have Nuxt 2 projects in production that are very large, and you cannot just start to migrate every single thing to Nuxt 3, except, I mean, you have the time and you're ready to burn through some resources. But if you wanted to play around with some features, definitely you should check out Nuxt Bridge.
All right. So let's see. Better DX. Nuxt 3 was built to eliminate boilerplate code and make the experience better for developers. So some of the improvements we've listed that we can touch on real quick. Native ESM support, which is, again, what Vite is relying on to use the browser functionality as much as possible so you don't have to do it yourself, which makes perfect sense. Optional pages support for applications that don't require routing. You want to talk about that?
So I don't know if for applications that don't require routing is the best. But yeah, I've noticed some people I'm actually guilty of this. But when I first discovered Nuxt, I don't think I wanted to build Vue applications anymore. But the thing about Nuxt is that, I mean, for Nuxt 2, was that sometimes you'd feel like, oh, maybe for what you're building, this is a little bit of overkill. Maybe you're doing too much because, you know, Nuxt would really set up a lot for you to give you pages, to set up the structure, and, you know, it will just set up Vue router for you. But if you feel like, oh, your application doesn't need all of this, right, you could, when you create a brand new Nuxt 3 project, you don't have a pages folder. So you can decide to create your pages folder yourself, right? And if you create a pages folder, it automatically just sets up routing for you. And, you know, anything you put into the pages folder, it works as expected, like your Nuxt 2 application would work. So yeah, in a brand new Nuxt 3 project, you don't have the pages folder. So that's, I think they were trying to remove a lot of boilerplate, you know, remove a lot of, just make the development experience lighter and just give you a leaner project file to start with. So basically that was the idea behind optional pages support.
Right. Yeah. So in Nuxt 2, just to go a little more, you had your pages and all your routes were determined by the structure of your directory under the pages directory. And it was using Vue router under the hood, so to speak. But it was sort of forcing that to you. And so if you wanted to, it was sort of difficult if you wanted to do other routes that weren't relying on that pages structure for some reason. So yeah, that's, in other words, it's flexibility. Hey, you can do it this way or you can do it this way.
Yeah.
If you want to fall back on the pages structure, then go for it. But if you don't want to, here's that option as well. So layout support, allowing for the option to use slots directly inside layouts. So how is that a change? What was not possible with slots in Nuxt 2 that you can do now in Nuxt 3?
Oh, yeah. So according to the Nuxt team, I think this was one feature that the Nuxt community really, really asked for. So yeah, basically in layouts, we have a layouts folder in Nuxt where you can define different layouts of your application. Say you have an app layout or you have a home layout and all of that. So previously, you could not use slots in layouts, but now you can, right? So I think this, just like you said earlier, it's for pages support. This allows for a lot of flexibility and a lot of, you know, you can make your choices now that, okay, this is how I want my layouts to look like. And you could, like, basically flexibility is like the keyword here. You could tweak things as much as you can now in your layouts because, you know, you have the options of using slots. I think you could also use name slots. I mean, so yeah, that's actually pretty interesting.
Right. And then, so the next two are steps that it looks like sort of an auto detection type or improved auto detection functionality. So automatic global imports for setup scripts, refs, watch, and computer properties, and automatic imports and detection of plugins, components, and helper functions from Vue and Nuxt libraries.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, that's just what it is, automatic global imports. So basically, this is something we already have in Vue 3, where I can't exactly remember what it's called. There's a particular name it's called in the community where you basically, you know, the way we used to have to write, we used to have to import components and then write components again in our options API, in our options setup. So I think in Nuxt 3, a lot of this is already done for you. It sets up a lot of this for you already. So once you import something, it's kind of like you just detect everywhere you want to use it. Say it's a component or computer properties or your script setup and all of that. So yeah, this would most definitely make development time faster and easier. Like you don't have to, it would definitely reduce this friction during the development. You don't have to think of, oh, okay, I'm kind of fine module so, because, you know, Nuxt is going to handle that for you. So that's definitely improved development experience, actually.
So what about the use case, though, where there's something out there in one of these particular tools that you don't want imported everywhere?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you only need it in a specific component or at a specific router, you know, whatever the case may be. That's still an option as well, I assume, correct?
I assume it should be, actually, because, I mean, that would, if we can get the option for automatic global imports, we should actually get the option to disable it as well, not to get global imports as well. So, yeah, that should be an option.
Excellent. So that's everything that you have covered in your post. Is there anything else we missed or anything else that's occurred to you while we've been talking that you want to cover or talk about?
I mean, not really. But yeah, Nuxt 3 is currently in public beta. And for everyone who wants to play around with it, I think this will be the perfect time. It's not ready to be used in production yet, but we hope in the coming months, so we will be able to build production-ready apps using Nuxt 3. But with all the features, I think it's pretty exciting and interesting to get started with and build pretty cool stuff with. Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah, I know that the beta was, I'm sure getting the beta out took longer than what they had anticipated. And there was a lot of anxiety, shall we say, in the community as to when that was going to come out. But now that it's here and people can play with it, I'm sure the velocity will increase as people are using it and filing reports and finding bugs that, you know, the developers never found themselves, which is great. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to maybe using it myself.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So with that, we will move on to picks.
Hey folks, if you love this podcast and would like to support the show, or if you wish you could listen without the sponsorship messages, then you're in luck. We're setting up new premium podcast feeds where you can get all of the episodes released after Christmas 2020 without the ads. Signing up will help us pay for editing and production, and you can go sign up at devchat.tv/premium.
And I will go first, as I'd like to let the guest go last. So for an actual pick today, before I get into the dad jokes that I know everybody highly anticipates, there's a browser that I'm in a beta test for. It's a Mac-specific browser. It's built on WebKit. It's called Orion.
Okay.
And you can find it at, I think it's browser.kagi.com. And it's the idea behind it is that he's built a lot from the ground up. it's very highly privacy focused in terms of blocking all the ads and trackers and stuff like that. And it's also very quick. I have found it to be very fast when I've been using it. A couple downsides that I've run into are in regards to password management capabilities. So for instance, I know both 1Pass and LastPass, I use LastPass myself, currently do not function with them. They do, Orion was built in such a way using the same APIs that the Firefox and Chrome browsers use for their extensions. And so in theory, you can use, you know, any extension from the Chrome store or the Firefox store as an extension in the browser. But the extension itself also has to work with the browser. And so I know LastPass told me they currently don't have any support. And what I see from 1Pass, they don't have any support. But I get around that by using the external LastPass app for now. That's the only real downsides I've seen. But it is in beta, so they are still working on it and improving it. And the guy that actually, the main developer's name is Vlad. I forget his last name. Is really cool. When he sends it to you, he sends gives you his email and says, hey, contact me if you have any questions. And I've actually have responded to him, and he's very quick to get back to you and respond. So that's promising. So yeah, I'm just trying that out. I really like it quite a bit. So now moving on to the dad jokes of the week. My first one is a question. Why was Noah considered to be the most successful man, businessman in the Bible? And the answer to that is because while all of his competition was being liquidated, he floated his stock.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. That's an amazing sound effect. I think I have a dad joke myself. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. All right. Let me tell mine and then you can tell yours. I always appreciate it. I always appreciate it when the guests contribute the dad jokes. We've had that before with the founder of, oh my gosh, I'm already blanking on who it was, but one guy came in here and contributed to, and he was awesome. Okay. So this one's a little more off color, but why did no one laugh when the king farted in front of his court? Because noble gases do not cause reactions. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Around my house, you know, we're all about the fart. We appreciate them. We do not hide them. Let's put it that way. So a little TMI there, maybe. So I went to my dentist. I had to, you know, I go every 6 months, I go to my dentist for a checkup and cleaning. And he told me that my teeth were stained. And he said, do you smoke or drink coffee? And I replied, I drink it. You know, I don't smoke it. No, you get it.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh my right. Goodness. No, these are actually pretty good.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of people give me groans, but I always appreciate the laughs. And then finally, very simple. What do you call birds that stick together? Velcros.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so that wraps up my picks/jokes for the day. David, what do you got for us?
Do I start with the picks first?
You can do whatever you want.
Oh, okay, I think I'll go with the picks. So, hello, everybody. Thanks for listening, I guess. So, yeah, there's this website, or should I say product, called Lordy Files. And I was really shocked to hear that Steve hasn't heard of it yet. But yeah. Lordy Files basically helps you use any sort of animation in your code, like in your web application or in your mobile apps. And it's totally amazing. Basically, you do not have to write any line of code to use animations anymore. So yeah, it's basically they have editors, they have plugins, they have web players. So you just have to go to lordyfiles.com. to kind of see how to get started. I recently joined I do not work for Lordy Files, but like I am helping with the community in my immediate community, like trying to educate people about Lordy Files and how to use Lordy Files and how to get started with Lordy Files. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty cool. I think it would help speed up a lot of the development processes and animations that you need to implement in your application. There's a huge marketplace with different kind of animations that you need, success, failure, whatever you're looking for. You just have to search for it. So yeah, if you've never used it before, and I'm pretty sure there should be a Vue library that helps you integrate with Lordy quite easily. So yeah, you should definitely check it out. Yeah.
That's Lordy Files, lottiefiles.com. Yeah. We'll have the link in the show notes as well. So there's some free and then there's some that you buy. Is that how that works?
Exactly.
That you pay for?
There's some that are free and there's some that are up for sale on the marketplace. But yeah, I mean, animators have to make their money, so.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay, yeah, but I didn't see like a membership or a pricing thing. So it looks like you can create an account, but you don't have to pay for membership. You just pay for the animations that you want to buy. Exactly.
And there's a huge community on Discord as well, where animators and developers can hang out, and you get to see a lot of beautiful, amazing animations. At least every month, they hold this competition where they have a theme and people have to submit animations for that month, and it's actually pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking at the website. It, as you can guess, it has a lot of animations on it. But
it's built on Vue as well. The website.
Oh, the website is? Oh, that's awesome.
Very interesting, yeah.
And looks like there's even a Vue Lottie player on NPM.
Yeah.
Vue component for the Lottie web player. So yeah, looks like you can use that to integrate the their web player into a Vue project. That's awesome. I never even heard of that before, so this is cool. All right, any more picks? Or you said you had a dad joke to enlighten us with?
Oh yeah, I think that's my pick for today. Yeah, dad jokes. Yeah, actually I have two. So I have a friend that's...
All right, let me get the sound effects ready here. Right, okay.
Okay, here it goes. What sounds like a sneeze, but is made of leather?
Made of what? Yeah, letters?
Made of leather. Like leather.
Oh, yeah, leather.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is
a
it?
A shoe.
A shoe. Yes. Oh, that's good. Yes. Thank you. There's a sound effect.
Yeah. And the lot.
There's actually an old funny version of Robin Hood Men in Tights. And one of the characters is a guy named, a comedian named Dave Chappelle.
Oh, okay.
And his name is Achu. Achu is his name. And everybody goes around and says, bless you, every time he introduces himself. And his father's name is Asneez.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it reminded me of that. In fact, I just saw that on TV the other day. So, all right. And you said you had one more?
Last one is, what does a house wear?
What does a house wear? What is that?
A house. What kind of clothes do houses wear? What does a house wear?
I do not know what.
A dress.
Very good. Very good. Thank you very much. A house wears a dress. Yeah. I like that. Yes. Those are right up my alley. All right. Fantastic. Well, with that, we are going to wrap up this episode of Views on Vue. Thank you, David, for coming and talking about Nux 3 with
us.
Thank
you so much, Steve.
I know a lot of people are looking forward to playing with Nux 3, and we will talk at you next time on Views on Vue.
Thank you so much, Steve, and have a lovely time, too.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.